Welcome to the Gen Z Stoic Podcast,
where every week we strive to lead younger generations on a path to virtue through the insight of Stoic teachings and personal stories from our lives as Gen Z Stoics. Welcome to another Stoic reading at the Gen Z Stoic. I'm your co-host, Ren, and today we'll be covering Letter 7 from Letters from a Stoic. It's been a minute since I have done one of these, and I apologize for that. Letter 7 is a lengthy letter, so I will be skipping some of it that is more relevant to us now and relevant to Seneca back when he wrote it, so that we can keep this shorter. But with that being said, in Letter 7, Seneca goes over peer pressure and avoiding the crowd. And so this letter is titled On Avoiding the Crowd. He starts by saying, "You asked me to say what you should consider it particularly important to avoid. My answer is this: a mass crowd is something to which you cannot entrust yourself yet without risk. I, at any rate, am ready to confess my own frailty in this respect. I never come back home with quite the same moral character I went out with. Something rather becomes unsettled where I have achieved internal peace. Someone or other of the things I had put to flight reappears on the scene. We who are recovering from a prolonged spiritual sickness are in the same condition as invalids who have been affected to such an extent by prolonged indisposition that they cannot once be taken out of doors without ill effects. Associating with people in large numbers is actually harmful. There is not one of them that will not make some vice or other attractive to us, or leave us carrying the imprint of it, or bedaubed all unawares with it." So a pretty simple message here, and one that we still see. Whenever you go out, whoever you surround yourself with, the people who you're with the most, you start to emulate some of their qualities. I always talk about all the time how my closest friends, I pick up on three or four like adjectives that they always use commonly, and I all of a sudden start using those subconsciously without even thinking about it. All of a sudden, I'm saying these things that I've never said before, but because I hang out with these people all the time, I pick up those traits. But vocab is not the only thing that you are acquiring when you surround yourself with people. You're also acquiring their attitudes and their traits. And as we know, not everybody is perfect, and many, many people, especially in today's society, are far from it. And if you are surrounding yourself with a large, you know, crowd of just public, general people, then inevitably there's going to be one bad apple in that crowd who does something, has a negative attitude, has something that rubs off on you. And I think you're going to notice in this letter that Seneca is very harsh, and he seems like, oh, you should be antisocial and never go out. It's unrealistic, and he even mentions it here how he confesses his own frailty. He confesses that he goes out frequently, and he never comes back home with the same moral character. And I think that kind of highlights the solution, right? Is that don't always be out in crowds, yes, but you can't always be by yourself. You can't always be isolated. So when you go out into crowds, when you go into a public event, when you go to like a sporting game is the biggest kind of crowd that I can think of that I go to, just be aware. And it's really ironic I mentioned sporting events because those are the best example. And what I'll be skipping in this letter is Seneca using the Colosseum and how they battled to the death as an example. But we have UFC now. I'm a big UFC guy, so maybe I need to check that now. And that's our kind of bloodletting, the same way that the Romans had the Colosseum and gladiator fights. That's kind of our bloodletting. And what Seneca is saying here is in the UFC, you see in soccer and football games. Now, people may get drunk, and this may be a factor, but this mob mentality of people get together and they get rowdy and then they do things that are crazy, and it's a psychological concept. And Seneca is highlighting this psychological concept here, but he's saying even if you don't participate, even if you see this mob who is doing these terrible things, you know, this mob gangs up on somebody who's a fan of a different team or something and they're beating him up, even if you don't do anything, even if you say, hey, stop that, there's an element of that that rubs off on you. And so you see these things and your moral character comes into question because of that. Now, you're not going to go out into the crowd and then all of a sudden, you know, your moral character is ruined. That's only if you choose to indulge in these activities that the mob, the mass, the crowd is doing. And Seneca will talk about why that is terrible to do. But even if you're somebody who, you know, you hold your head high and you see these things and you think, wow, my morals tell me not to do that. And so you're kind of on a moral high ground. There's still some sort of influence that these people have over you. And I'll talk about this later, but it's only worse with social media now. So Seneca continues, "But nothing is as ruinous to the character as sitting away one's time at a show. For is it then through the medium of entertainment that vices creep into one with more than usual ease? What do you take me to mean, that I go home more selfish, more self-seeking, and more self-indulgent? Yes, and what is more, a person crueler and less humane through having been in contact with human beings. And I'm going to skip this part. He talks about how he went during one of his lunchtime to one of these gladiator shows and saw kind of the bloodthirsty aspect of many of his fellow Roman citizens crying out that these people didn't die honorably and they needed to, you know, have more blood and all these things. He continues, When a mind is impressionable and has none too firm a hold on what is right, it must be rescued from the crowd. It is so easy for it to go over to the majority. A Socrates, a Cato, or a Laelius might have been shaken in his principles by a multitude of people different from himself. Such is the measure of the inability of any of us, even as we perfect our personality's adjustment, to withstand the onset of vices when they come with such a mighty following. And this makes me recall just the personal journey that we are on in life. Just as, you know, if you study for a test, you're more likely to do well. And if you practice a sport, you're more likely to do well. The more we practice virtuous tendencies, the more virtuous we become and the better person we become for it. However, we always mention on the podcast that this journey comes with many, 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 many setbacks. And every time you go out in a public in a crowd can be considered a setback. This is what Seneca is saying here. Anytime you interact with the public, it can be considered a setback because once you interact with a crowd, you interact with the mob, you interact with the public, you don't get to choose who you surround yourself with. Unlike friends, where you get to choose who you surround yourself with, and so you pick up on the tendencies that you want to, you're just kind of thrown to the wind when you get into public, because at a moment's notice, something can happen where it shakes your morals. It shakes your ability to avoid vice and accept virtue. Whether that's, you know, you run into an old friend who maybe doesn't have the best qualities, and they're like, oh, I'm going to this party or something, or somebody offers you something that you know you shouldn't be doing, in that instance, you are faced with a choice. And the reality is, you can't sit at home and never have this happen to you. You can't sit at home, curl up in a ball, hope that just reading books and thinking about it will make you virtuous. No, you have to go out and live it. You have to go out and practice it. And dealing with crowds is one of the hardest things to do when you're on that journey. So Seneca's saying here is to be aware of it. And that's my interpretation. Seneca has kind of some strong wording for other human beings, calling them cruel and inhumane and making you more cruel and inhumane. And there's certainly an aspect of that, especially if we get in a big group. But I take it a step back and I say, silver lining is that with so many people around us who are doing so many terrible things, we have so many opportunities to show what it means to live virtuously and then maybe lead the masses to this area of virtue rather than the vice that they're currently partaking in. So again, Seneca says, a single example of extravagance or greed does a lot of harm. An intimate who leads a pampered life gradually makes one soft and flabby. A wealthy neighbor provokes cravings in one. A companion with a malicious nature tends to rub off some of his rust even on someone of an innocent and open-hearted nature. What then do you imagine the effect on a person's character is when the assault comes from the world at large? So again, like I mentioned, your friends have a big effect on you, right? We talk about all the time how friends are the most important people you need to choose because you're going to emulate their traits, you're going to emulate their goals. And so if you have friends who have goals and views that are diametrically opposed to what you have, say, for example, you're like, you know, I'm a little bit out of shape, I want to go lose 20 pounds at the gym, I'm going to go work out. And your friend's like, well, that's lame, you look fine. Whatever they want to say. Sure, you know, might that be supportive, but if their goals and their mindset doesn't align with you, then more likely than not, when you're trying to go to the gym and lose this weight, you're going to think, oh, well, my friend said I don't have to, so I'm not going to go today. But now imagine that times 100 different people. Now, 100 people aren't going to give you advice on your gym habits or how in shape or out of shape you are, unless you're on social media. But the point being that if one person can have such a big impact on you, imagine that times 100 when you go out in public and you deal with all of these people. Are they as important to you as your friends? No, but it adds up over time. And Seneca even mentions Socrates, who was the founder, the father, really, of Western philosophy, one of the most virtuous men probably possible. He mentions even him can be shaken in his principle if he deals with a multitude of people who are diametrically opposed to us. Which, if you were living the Stoic lifestyle in modern times, you're going to encounter hundreds of people who are opposed to that lifestyle walking throughout your day-to-day life. So how do we deal with that? Seneca says, retire into yourself as much as you can. Associate with people who are likely to improve you. Welcome those whom you are capable of improving. this is how we deal with it. Three ways. Retire into yourself as much as you can. You obviously have to be social. You have to go out. You have to get that social interaction. Human are social beings, and so therefore you have to do that. But as much as you can, retire into yourself, which means have some alone time. Reflect. Be self-aware. These are key traits that allow you to not be negatively influenced by the people around you. Associate with people who are likely to improve you, your friends, and welcome those whom you are capable of improving. One of the cardinal virtues is wisdom, and one of the ways that you can sharpen your wisdom is by recognizing who are like people who are likely to improve you and people you are capable of improving, and those who maybe it's not worth your time. Sounds harsh, but we can categorize people into those three categories, and the better and better you get at that, which comes with practice, the more wise you become. Crazy, right? Seneca talking about one of the cardinal virtues kind of implicitly. He continues, the process is a mutual one. Men learn as they teach, and there is no reason why any pride in advertising your talents abroad should lure you forward into the public eye, inducing you to give readings of your works or deliver lectures. I should be glad to see you doing that if what you had to offer them was suitable for the crowd I have been talking about. But the fact is, not one of them is really capable of understanding you. You might perhaps come across one here and there, but even they would need to be trained and developed by you to a point where they could grasp your teaching. For whose benefit, then, did I learn it all? If it was for your own benefit that you learnt it, you have no call to fear that your trouble may have been wasted. Now, I'll be completely honest. I disagree here. I think men do learn. Anybody learns as they teach, and if you've gone through any schooling whatsoever, when you're able to teach a concept, you learn it better. It's one of the reasons I love the podcast is the more it drives me to read more Stoicism, think more about Stoicism, and reflect on how I'm applying it into my life, which therefore makes me a more virtuous person. And so the process is I'm learning as I'm giving these teachings to people who hopefully listen to it fully and kind of apply it to their life because, you know, I dig Stoicism and I think it's very helpful. Now, and then it seems kind of contradictory for him to say men learn as they teach, and then in the next few sentences say, but don't teach, only teach to a select few. Seems like a very elitist position to me. I feel that you shouldn't waste your time trying to teach people who don't want to hear it. I think that's the qualification we have to give, is if you're going out and you're doing these things and you're trying to teach, say I wrote a book and then I'm going out and I'm giving my lectures and I go to a crowd of people and they just start arguing with me. They disagree and they don't really want to hear it. I'm not going to waste my time trying to further teach. I'm going to retract and then teach to people who want to hear it and people who will actually learn from it. That is the difference. Not this kind of superiority where, oh, these people aren't going to understand you. They're not even capable of it. People are very capable of understanding what virtue, what vice is. We were born with reason, and I think we were born innately able to live virtuously. It just takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of self-reflection. And you never know. The person who, you know, they might be like a drug addict, and they're homeless, and you don't see a lot of purpose in them, and you say, well, why would I teach them? Why would I help them out? Again, very elitist stance. Maybe they just need to hear the right set of words. And you never know when that opportunity is. You never know when that person is. And so I disagree here with Seneca saying that you only need to teach like a select few who are capable of understanding because you don't know. You don't know who is capable of understanding. That judgment takes a lot of kind of quality time with that person that you might not necessarily get unless they're your close friends. So your close friends are worthwhile to teach, but you don't know besides that who else. So my advice to you is retire into yourself as much as you can, associate with people who are likely to improve you, welcome those whom you are capable of improving, and teach to those who want to learn. That is my advice. And with that, I'm going to skip kind of, he quotes Democritus and Epicurus, and he basically says that your merits should not be outward facing, and that you should not base your merit, you should not base your worth on the words of others. So again, taking an example, if I publish a book, and then some critic rips apart the book, says, this is a terrible book, no one should buy it, awful, 0 out of 5 stars. I'm not going to base my merits of the book based off that one critic. I wouldn't base the merits of my book based off 100 critics, based off 1,000 critics. Because if the words are true, and I'm writing, you know, even if it's my subjective truth, I put in the effort, I'm going to judge my merits based off that effort and what my intentions were, not what some guy from the internet thinks about my book. And again, I mentioned social media. Social media is kind of the end-all be-all when it comes to avoiding the crowds, peer pressure, not basing your worth on the majority's approval. Social media is a big catalyst in our generation's inability to do this. Social media, everybody's a stranger, essentially. You know, you have your close list of friends maybe on Snapchat, but you scroll through Instagram, something is going to upset you. That's what the algorithm wants. Something's going to disturb your inner peace. Something's going to, you know, be very full of vice. Something's going to be very full of temptation. You get on Snapchat and you don't know a lot of the people you snap fully, and there's a lot of temptation there as well. And we know what temptation on Snapchat results in. Now, the way that we avoid all of this, like we said from the start, is avoiding social media. You need social media to be, you know, social a little bit, yes, and marketing is a very good use of social media. But avoiding social media as much as possible is a good way to retire into yourself more. Because when we get back to our room, take for example, I go to class and I get back to my dorm room, I face a choice. Do I reflect on, you know, maybe some interactions I had or how that class went? Or do I move on and do homework? Those are two valid options. Or do I scroll on my phone? Which inevitably leads me to find something where somebody is, you know, saying something that's very horrific and unethical, and I'm very frustrated by these things. Which one seems like the easier route? This is one of the few times where the easier route is the worthwhile route. And so when we avoid crowds and we avoid peer pressure, you know, that means, yes, not giving in to peer pressure, yes, not going to as many parties, not going to as many public places and taking more time for yourself, yes. But it also means that when you are by yourself, or even with you're with other people, cut back on social media. And you'll notice that that kind of crowd feeling, that public feeling, the public eye, that peer pressure decreases. It doesn't go away. And you'll always have to deal with it, but it decreases. And so if there's one tool, there's one tip I can give you, it is that. With that being said, this has been Letter 7 of Seneca's Letters from a Stoic, giving tips on how to avoid the crowd and peer pressure. I've been your co-host, Ren. Thank you for listening as always, and join us again next week.